Hi, this is Kendra Adachi from the Lazy Genius podcast, and I am so excited that the new KFC chicken nuggets are here. You have never had nuggets like these before. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe, and absolutely delicious. They have become a go-to favorite the kids love to fight over, and I hope they make dinner easier and more fun for you too. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
Maybe gun control is not the answer. We all know that it is, but maybe it's not. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am John R. Bray.
And I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am also sick. So I apologize for the fact that I sound terrible. But if it's any consolation, I feel worse. So it's a pretty solid start to the week. So.
It's an interesting, it adds an interesting dynamic, a dimension to your accent, actually.
Does it really? Is that a, is it a good dimension?
it's an interesting dimension.
I think it was last night or something. I tweeted that I've entered that phase where now I just stuff tissues into my nostrils because I can't keep blowing it. I just can't do it.
It hurts. It gets to the point where it hurts.
Yeah, it's just raw.
Are you throwing tissues around like your child?
Mm-hmm. I'm just like rubbing them into the carpet so they stick in place, trying to compete. But he's not sick. I'm reasonably sure I got it from him. But fortunately, he is not sick, which is good.
That's good.
I guess. I don't know. But we're not going to have an episode about sickness.
No.
Considering last week we had an episode about health. I'm pretty sure this is the universe's way of punishing me for discussing my
your green
first
smoothie.
6 weeks of the year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead, we're going to talk a little bit about the school shooting in Florida and school shootings in general and the absurdity of this country and what it's like to have kids in school during and after these situations. Because I think anyone who has a child, that's on their mind right now. Honestly, regardless of where you sit in the gun debate, that's on your mind right now. Is, you know, how do you talk to your kids about it? What do you do? There's no good answer.
You know, Lita is a little bit insulated from, she's not on Twitter. And I don't know what her friends are saying on Snapchat, but we don't watch television either. So in terms of like the constant feed of news and information about this, I think she's a little bit isolated from that.
Which is good.
It's good.
Well, sort of, I guess.
You know, I asked her if they do active shooter drills. I guess that's what it's called. Active intruder drills. Because they do these drills at Marlowe School. I'm on the SEC, the school community council there. And they routinely do these drills where if there is an intruder, there is a systematic way of locking the doors and putting a black piece of paper over the window, and then all the kids go to the back of the room and get under the desks. And all the doors to the school are locked except the front door, so everybody has to come through the front door.
Yep.
But Lita has not done a shooter drill at her school. They've never done one. Just fire drills.
Never?
Never.
Are they in the same district?
They are.
That's super
I think
weird.
It's an individual's... Well, it's supposed to be a school-wide thing, but it's very... Like... I hate to say this. Like, I hate that I have to say they need to be doing these drills. I hate that I have to say that. Like, I hate to say that I'm glad that I'm glad that my child's being prepared for the possibility of someone breaking into her school with a gun. It's absurd that I need to call Lita's school and understand their policies or advocate for policies about this sort of scenario happening.
It's absurd that we have to feel good about there being active shooter drills. Mm-hmm. That's what's totally fucked up. Like I'm with you 100%. I don't know. They don't call them active shooter in my district. I don't remember what they call them.
Intruder. It's intruder, I think, is the word.
Okay. Well, I know just because last week at Lexton School, he gets in the car and I was like, oh, how was your day? He's like, oh, good. We had a shelter in place today. I'm like, It's a shelter in place. It's like, well, it's when you shut the doors because something happened. And that's all he knows. Like, he was given no other information. So I'm asking him questions like, did the teachers keep teaching? Did they block the windows? Did you have to hide? And he said, no, a shelter in place is they just lock all the doors. I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe it was a drill. He's like, no, I don't think so, but I'm not sure. And it's 2 hours later that I get a message that, oh, no, it was real. It was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, do people take it seriously? And without even skipping a beat, he said, oh, yeah, everybody freaks out. But they're still teaching.
They're still teaching under the circumstances.
I mean, maybe when you're in second grade, you can just lock the door and keep teaching. But when you're teaching middle schoolers, they know that something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't expect them to sit there and just keep learning days after another school had a shooting.
Like the trauma of, I mean, well, first of all, the absurdity that Lita's school doesn't have these drills in place. They have had two lockdowns since she's been attending. And one of the lockdowns occurred when I was out of town on business and she was staying with my mother. And I got an email about the lockdown and that there had been a serious threat on Facebook towards the school from one of the students. My mother, you know, I forwarded the email to my mother, but the absurdity that they don't have some system in place, especially given that this has happened. Did you have like tornado drills when you were in elementary school?
We did. I don't know if they were in elementary because we never really get, I mean, in Northern Michigan, it wasn't really a thing, but I feel like we started having them a little later just because the district wanted to join most of the country, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd get under the desk or, I mean, we had fire drills, obviously, where you evacuate, you get in line, you know, you're used to practicing those, but it's...
Well, yeah. So we had tornado drills probably every month growing up in elementary school because tornadoes were so frequent.
Tennessee.
Yeah. Like, I think we've discussed my sort of obsession with tornadoes growing up because one hit about a mile from my home and the sirens were going off and I didn't understand what was going on. And, you know, it was extraordinarily scary experience. So scary that I learned that storms move from west to east. And so...
Oh, I remember you saying this, yeah.
Yeah, wherever I go, I immediately... it's this instinctual thing to figure out what's north, south, east, east, and west. Because this was so ingrained in me, like the tornadoes are coming from that direction.
So you need to be watching in that direction. That was sort of your...
Exactly.
...mindset, okay.
And these drills, they would march us out into the hallway, and we would crouch down... And, you know, cover our heads with our hands. And we sort of crouch down and on like a little fetal position, just in a row along the wall. It was extraordinarily scary for me. And I became obsessed with the idea of tornadoes. And thank God these shootings weren't going on when I was a kid, because I can't imagine that I would have been able to overcome that obsession of like, I'm going to go to school and someone's going to break in and shoot.
Right.
That children are living with this nightmare of a possibility. But we're seeing these students from this school specifically saying, okay, no, you messed with the wrong school. You messed with the wrong school. We're going to do something about it. And I think we are seeing a watershed moment here with those kids and the call to action that they have set in motion.
I hope so. Honestly, there's absolutely no sign of them backing down at all.
No.
Despite the fact that they went through this horrible event, seeing friends and classmates and teachers killed in their school, and they're now being attacked for being paid puppets of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
It's crazy.
I don't...
You think it can't get crazier, and then it gets crazier. Like, this is like the craziest, right. This is the craziest fucking shit. Like, you are claiming that someone who has just been through possibly the most traumatic event in their life, in their young 17 years of life, watching and witnessing their friends die. hoping that they don't die themselves, and you're accusing them of spreading propaganda, basically.
Yeah. It's just, even if you could get yourself to the mindset of, okay, maybe gun control is not the answer. We all know that it is, but maybe it's not.
We all do know that it is.
Let's just try it. And if it's not the answer, we'll know. But the reality is that I believe there are people out there who know it is the right answer, and they just don't want to lose their toys. And there are responsible gun owners. I'm not... Everyone who believes that there should be tighter regulations acknowledges that fact. They know that there are responsible gun owners. But unfortunately, in a society, you have to cater to the lowest denominator.
There was a forensic psychologist on NPR this morning who spent several years talking with the shooter from the... Do you remember the theater shooter in Colorado?
Yes.
So there was a forensic psychologist who spent years talking to him and breaking him down and dissecting, you know, the why of what he did, you know. And he, what was interesting about what he said was, you know, people take comfort in the fact that, okay, so he broke up with his girlfriend and that was a reason, or he was depressed and that was a reason, or he had, if somebody went bankrupt and that's a reason, or someone has, you know, a really bad day at work, that's a reason. He said, except that those aren't reasons, because people experience those losses all of the time and they don't go shoot up a theater.
Right. Like every second those things happen.
And he said, really what has struck him most about these conversations around this issue, everybody always jumps to mental health. And so I'm going to launch into this really quickly. He said everybody launches into talking about mental illness being the cause of this. And he said, I am far, far less worried. He said, actually, violent crime in those who are mentally ill is very little. He said, I'm far, far more worried about the disgruntled ex-husband or the volatile coworker or the angry domestic abuser. He said, I'm far more worried for the safety of my friends and family by those people than I am by somebody who is depressed. I loved that he said that, because I've worked with several mental health organizations, and whenever these shootings happen, like, we all brace for, oh, well, we need to take care of him. He's mentally ill. You know, that he gets labeled as mentally ill, this is the reality of mental illness in this country, in the state of mental health. I have insurance. I have quality insurance. It's extraordinarily expensive, but it has no mental health coverage whatsoever. None. Zero. There is no...
So everything you get for you and your girls is out of pocket.
Well, they cover prescriptions. They do not cover therapy. They don't cover psychiatry.
Okay.
And there's some stuff that has happened recently. I won't go into any details, but I called my psychiatrist and asked him for a referral for a pediatric psychiatrist. And his secretary called me back, and she's like, I hate to tell you this, but there is at least, at the minimum, a 6-month waiting period for every pediatric psychiatrist that we know. A 6-month waiting period. And if there isn't a waiting period, most pediatric psychiatrists aren't taking on new clients because their roster is so full.
6 months doesn't really work when you have...
When you're in desperate, dark waters, 6 months is not really an option. And so when people talk about, well, you know, who's mentally ill, and we need to take care of that aspect of things. Okay, so let's address this. 6-month waiting period for a child who is extraordinarily disgruntled with life. And and luckily, my psychiatrist is willing to see my child. And I will pay through the nose for it as well.
Right.
And so this discussion about mental illness and lumping it all into that, that's what I see a lot of Second Amendment rights advocates lumping it into, well, he's a sick person. And that's just not the reason. That's just not the reason why these people are driven to do what they do.
Well, I think you're right, but I think there's two issues. I think people point to mental illness because a lot of those people who are really staunchly Second Amendment, what they need to believe is that the person who committed that crime, that atrocity, is worlds different than they are. So if they can label them with some sort of mental illness, therefore that person is different. And I would never do that because I'm not mentally ill. Mm-hmm. So you've built that wall of security around yourself. But I think it's also that whenever anything like this happens, you have a bunch of people pointing at singular possible solutions. Mm-hmm. And that's not it. We can't just tighten gun regulations and every problem is fixed. Similarly, we can't just ramp up mental health and every problem
is fixed. Let's round up everybody who's mentally ill and give them drugs, and that's going to solve the problem.
Yeah, I mean, and then, oh God, there's the argument that if we put tighter gun regulations in place, the criminals will still get guns. Because they just will, because that's life or whatever
the argument is. I think the discussion needs to start where, okay, we have to start somewhere. And we have to start somewhere. We have to take steps to prevent this from happening again. And some kid posted a photo of himself. It's getting retweeted quite a bit this morning on Twitter. Some kid in Florida, a 20-year-old, I mean, he could be fabricating this, but he posted a picture of himself, and it looked like a Walmart. He's 20 years old. He said, "I just bought a gun. My license is expired. And I just bought an AR-15. And he's holding it in his hand.
And he was posting as in, this is awesome, or as in, this is a problem?
He's basically like, this is the reality, y'all. I just walked into the store. My license is expired. I'm 20 years old. And I just bought this AR-15. And he's standing there holding it. And
yeah.
Like, I am extraordinarily anti-gun.
Same, yes.
I don't think that anyone should be able to own a gun, period. It's just, we've established this. I know that that is not a reality, just like I know that, you know, people are going to eat meat, right? So,
exactly.
Probably, like,
but you have to work to improve the situation, given the reality.
Like, Farm Forward, I can't believe I'm talking about them. Farm Forward was coming at this issue with, okay, so if we want to treat animals more humanely, knowing that people are going to eat meat, let's come at it from this angle, which is, let's make farming better, let's make the conditions better for the animals. Okay, so we know that people are going to own guns and that they already own a lot of guns. How do we prevent, why not have stricter background checks, longer waiting periods? It just makes sense. It makes sense to monitor and regulate these things like we monitor and regulate certain drugs, like we monitor and regulate the fact that who can and cannot drive a car.
Like we monitor and regulate fucking everything except guns. I mean, it's just, I don't remember when it was, but I saved the tweet, but someone wrote, it's Jess Zimmerman on Twitter, and she wrote, in quotes, "If you make guns illegal, people will just find them on the black market. Well, it's also possible to personally trap a live wolverine and keep it in your home until it mauls your face off, but we still don't hold adoption events at PetSmart." Like, that's kind of like, you can own a car, but you can't drive a tank down the road. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just certain things. I mean, even beyond that, like, you can ride a motorcycle, but if your dirt bike doesn't have proper lighting, you can't drive it. It's basic. And for some reason, to the people who are really pro Second Amendment, it somehow makes sense to have a mental health registry, but not a gun registry. Mm-hmm. It's for me, it's such a frustrating debate because their arguments just run in circles.
Well, they're...
So there's never any way to really get to the center of it.
I read a certain gun owner on Twitter who was talking about the fact that he owns an AR-15 and said that he would happily give it up if it meant that this never happened again. And he's like, if you're afraid of people taking away your guns because you won't be able to protect yourself, then use your shotgun or your handgun to protect yourself from the intruder. You don't need an assault rifle. You don't need a weapon that kills massive amounts of people with one pull of the trigger. And he was saying, like, that's the common sense thing here is, okay, then let's own guns that don't kill as many people, which, you know, I thought was a rational argument coming from, he said he owned like, you know, 12 or 13 guns. And I don't know exactly what the gun laws are here in Utah, but I personally know someone who tried to commit suicide when he was 19 years old, and someone found him moments before he attempted, and because he quote unquote voluntarily checked himself into the Neuropsychiatric Institute up here, because he voluntarily checked himself in, he doesn't have to have that on his record in terms of buying a gun. So he owns a gun.
Wow.
He still owns a gun. He bought a gun after that happened. And then he got a concealed carry permit.
Why?
I don't know.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
I have, I'd say, in addition to the students, I've seen a lot of different people who own AR-15 saying similar things, or who own similar guns saying similar things. Like, I'm an avid gun owner. I love this gun. It's fun to shoot. I will happily hand it over. Like, there's no reason that I actually need it. And I feel like I haven't seen that as much in the past, which is really encouraging. And I've seen some really well thought out and well presented arguments in favor of AR-15s. I understand why people want them.
Why do they want them?
I think for people who are really into guns, everything that I've read is that they're really fun. One thing that he wrote, and it was an interesting analogy, is he said for him, and this was actually someone who gave his up, I believe. He said for him, the best thing he could compare it to was owning a car that you modify. It's like some people buy a Honda Civic and love to put a spoiler on it and put a low-rise kit on it and all this stuff. That's fun for them. He said, for me, to have an AR-15 and buy a flashlight and put that on and do this, like, I'm never going to use this stuff, but I like the mechanics of it. I like taking it apart. I like modifying it and messing with it. I mean, like, Lexton is super mechanically minded. He would probably love to take apart a gun just to see how it looks, how it works. Like, I get that. There's a certain point where you just have to acknowledge, like, I would think that your fun experience is not more valuable than the lives of anybody,
right?
Especially children.
But I do think, I really like the fact that you brought that up. I think that in order to move this forward, we need to have discussions like the one, like him explaining why he's a common sense gun owner and why he owns that particular gun. For, I think, the mutual understanding between the opposite sides of having a calm conversation about this is the only way that we can take steps towards finding a solution. Like getting into the mind of a gun owner. I mean, I recently found out that my mother owns a gun. I had no idea that my mother owns a gun. What the fuck? And I remain very calm about it.
Yeah.
Both my mother and my father own a gun. At this point, my brother and my sister could own a gun. Who knows? I have no idea. They're very quiet about it. I know that they keep it locked up and that they have it for protection. Protection from what? I don't know. What I would like to ask is why my if they're so concerned about their safety, and this is coming out of love, like me asking this question. If they're concerned about their safety and they bought a gun because of their concern for that, why have they not pushed me towards owning a gun for my safety out of their love for me?
That's a fair question.
Like, wouldn't you think that if they're so concerned about their own safety, that they would be like, you know, my youngest child who is single and living by herself with her two children doesn't own a gun and can't protect herself with a gun.
Right. Or why wouldn't they buy you one? Like, bring you, here, we got this for you for protection. It's already in a lockbox or whatever they go in. I don't know enough about them, but.
I actually, and then my former assistant, he was like, we need to take you to a shooting range. Have you ever been to a shooting range? And I'm like, dude, you know, I am totally anti-gun. I cannot go do that. But at the same time, maybe those of us who want stricter gun control need to understand why people enjoy going to shooting ranges, like getting into their minds and getting into the whys of why they are so adamant about owning these things.
Yes, I agree. I have shot a shotgun and a rifle.
You have?
It's been a long, I grew up in the North Woods of Michigan. So people, it was hunting, like that's what you did. And like, I could go fishing with someone every day for the next year and I would still find it boring as all hell. That is how I felt about shooting a gun. Like it's loud. It's the same thing over and over again. I don't, and that's not hunting. I'm not a hunter, but at least then you're tracking something in theory and doing, but just shooting at a gun range. I agree with you. I do think that it's important for people who are anti-gun to get with people who are pro-gun and to try and understand each other's position in a really respectful way. But why, like, to go and shoot at a target and get better at shooting a target, I don't get it. Unless it's like competition,
or maybe it's, you know, to stop a home intruder.
But there's this was several years old now, I think, and it's on Netflix, but the Australian comedian Jim Jefferies has a stand-up special on Netflix, Jim Jefferies Bear, I think, BARE. And right around the 25-ish minute mark, he talks about gun control.
Yep.
I think it was shortly after Sandy Hook. Have you seen it?
I think I have seen it because Australia banned guns after a mass shooting and they took away everyone's guns.
Port Arthur.
And they haven't had a mass shooting since.
And even if you're pro-gun, but you have an open mind to just hearing a different perspective, he lays out a really, really interesting take on gun control.
And what was that again?
And it all starts with his thing is if you're pro guns, you have one argument, and that one argument is, I like guns. It's a shitty argument, but it's really the only argument that you have. And then he goes into talking about, like, look at your mom, and the gun is locked up, right? For safety. So someone breaks into her house. She's going to have time to wake up, unlock the gun, and use it for safety? Probably not. But if the gun is sitting out and loaded and ready, that's not really safe at home. But these are the things that don't really mesh up, but that people don't want to acknowledge. Like, if it's locked in a safe and the ammo is in the other room, you're not going to have a whole lot of luck if someone breaks into your house. So I appreciate the whole safety element, but it is a hard, I recognize that it's a really hard position for the responsible gun owners and for the people who use their guns who actually use them. I read one. We have these so many shootings now that it's hard to remember when it came out, but it was a cattle rancher who wrote a piece. I want to say it was after Orlando. but I don't remember, but he wrote a piece on the AR-15. And he was talking about why, as a cattle rancher, it's a great gun. Because, is it groundhogs, maybe? Because groundhogs dig holes, and then his cattle step in them and break their legs. So he uses the AR-15 to hunt these groundhogs. Right, which is crazy. Exactly. But that's exactly, and everything he said in it, as I'm reading it, I'm like, yeah, this, your whole argument makes complete sense to me. That you need this gun, that it works for what you need. It's the best tool for what you need, 100%. But unfortunately, it's also incredibly destructive and way too easy to buy. And I think, in truth, a lot of people like him would be fine with a 6-month waiting period, with a more extensive background like check, because they're using it for real reasons.
Or a committee that assesses whether or not someone needs this deadly weapon, this extraordinarily deadly, like military style weapon, deadly weapon. Like, he's using it for practical purposes and has no intention, and clearly no intention, of using it to harm another human being. He's using it to protect his business, right? From groundhogs. Like, even just like a committee that would assess like the usage of this military grade deadly weapon. And I know in the art, people keep making arguments that knives are deadly weapons and bats are deadly weapons and machetes are deadly weapons. Ah.
You could beat somebody to death with a laptop. Like, that's not the issue. I mean, anything can be, but that's not the point. It's how, I mean, it's honestly, it's how deadly is it? You know, like, that's, I think, why this discussion comes up surrounding this specific gun, because it's phenomenal how much damage you can do with it versus a knife.
Versus a knife.
For example.
Hi there, this is Kendra Adachi, and I host the Lazy Genius Podcast. And I need to make sure that you have heard about the new KFC Chicken Nuggets. You have never had nuggets like these before, 100% white meat and hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. KFC has been a family favorite for years, and now we can get all of the delicious KFC flavor we love in one amazing chicken nugget. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
I see these kids, and, you know, after each one of these has happened, there's always the refrain, I never thought it would happen to me. There was an Onion piece. Did you see this? There's an Onion piece written a few years ago. The headline is, basically, you know, another mass shoot.
Like, there's nothing we can do to stop this.
Another mass shooting in the country where it only, in the only country where it happens. Again, we can't stop this. I'm getting the headline wrong, but it's an Onion article.
Yeah, it's something like, there's nothing we can do to prevent this as the only nation in the world where this happens, or something to that effect.
And the person who wrote that article grew up down the street from that high school.
Really?
Yes. And you always hear the refrain, like, I never thought that it would happen to my school. I never thought that it would happen to my child. And when I hear that, that really, really, really fucking freaks me out, because it's so true. Like, I send my kids to school every day, and I just, you know, you're putting them in the hands of, I mean, God bless these teachers and these administrators who are basically a stand-in parent during the day. And what we're asking them to do in terms of protecting our children is just insane.
Yeah. It's,
And
it is. I mean, you say that like it could never happen here, or I can't imagine it this way, or I dropped Lexton off at school to a pretty heavy police presence. Mm-hmm. It's super fucked up.
And someone, there was an article written about, well, what we should do is every school should have metal detectors, and every school should have a complete security like team. And someone was like, okay, so let's send our children to basically fucking Rikers Island. That's called prison. Let's send our children to prison every day instead of common sense gun control. That makes total sense.
Yep. Yeah, make school a really weird experience so people can own guns.
Mm-hmm.
It's so bad. I can't think of anything in my life that I value enough to say, no, I'm going to keep this. I don't care if people are dying. Like,
when I was on the phone with the secretary of my psychiatrist, I called her, I believe it was the day after the shooting. And when I called her and she said, you know, sorry that there's a 6-month waiting list, it just hit me like, this is America. This is the deadliest school shooting in history. And people are immediately turning to mental illness. I call for a pediatric psychiatrist and there's a 6-month waiting period. I also don't have health coverage to cover the cost of it. This is America. This is the country we live in.
I tweeted about it, like sitting at home, trying to understand, I don't remember exactly what I said, but basically trying to understand, you know, what happened in Florida while calling to try to understand my massive medical bills. Like in the same day. And I have clients around the world, and I was talking to someone, I had a meeting with someone in the UK and was kind of relaying this information just generally to her. And she can't even wrap her mind around how it is possible. And I'm not saying that things are perfect in the UK, but it's like beyond her grasp to understand that environment.
Yeah. There was someone in New Zealand said, hey, America, we have all of your violent video games. We have all of your obscene rap music. And guess what? We don't kill each other.
Yeah. Yeah. That's. Oh, God. There's just so many unproductive arguments. I'm most sick of the one that even if we have tighter gun control, the criminals will still get guns on the black market. Because first of all, I'm pretty intelligent. I don't know that I could figure out how to buy a gun on the black market, to be totally honest with you. And second, a lot of the people who have committed these mass shootings are not quote unquote criminals prior to committing these mass shootings. Like they're not like career criminals who then carried this out. So we're not exactly talking about criminals who are really familiar with the black market that want a gun. We're talking about pretty regular people. So it's a ridiculous argument.
I mean, it's ridiculous on its face because it's like, but why are you arguing with making it harder for them to get that gun? Why are you arguing against just making it a little more difficult for a 20-year-old to go buy an assault rifle
with an expired license?
Why are you arguing against making that a little more difficult?
I don't remember when I saw someone write this comparison. I had never thought of it this way, but it's interesting. There's not 100% overlap here. I get it, but many of the people who are pro Second Amendment and saying that banning guns will not stop this from happening also tend to hold the belief that banning abortion will stop abortion.
Right.
So those don't really line up. I mean, do you see like...
Oh, yeah.
It... But you can't like... I don't even know how to talk about it.
They turn that argument around on us and say, well, you believe that if we ban abortion, you believe that women are going to find a way anyway. That's what that's their counter argument, is that women are going to find a way to get an abortion anyway, so banning it is not going to work. That's their argument.
But they still want to ban it.
Yes.
That's what I mean. Like, they still want to ban it because it will help, because in their mind it will help. I mean, I haven't seen anyone on the let's get tighter gun regulation front say this will prevent it from ever happening again, ever, period. But it will greatly reduce the likelihood. It will greatly reduce the number of casualties. it will help, which is the whole goal of it. I mean, yeah, in a perfect world, it would be great to just have some sort of situation in place that this never happens again. But that's not reality.
No, but I really am inspired by these kids. And again, I do think that this is a watershed moment. I think hearing them talk and hearing them and the passion and what they're like, I really truly believe. I'm following like 6 or 7 of them on Twitter. And man, are they smart. And man, are they not taking any shit.
That is so encouraging to me. These people that are criticizing them, I mean, the kids are basically taking to Twitter and they're like, you weren't there. You don't know what it was like.
Exactly.
Shut up. Like that's, they don't even budge, which is amazing.
And they're calling for a march on Washington on the 24th of March.
And a school walkout in April, right?
Yeah. And I'm considering, I'm considering going to Washington to participate in this because I really, really, this is a huge issue. This is a big issue for me. I don't know why, but it is. Well, of course I know why. Duh.
Because it has to be.
It has to be.
It has to be a big issue to everyone because it's not just in schools. It's not just at concerts. It's not just, it's everywhere. And something has to give.
It's the world. I guess it's part of the world. I don't want my children to inherit this world. This part of it.
But they will.
I know.
I mean, ultimately it's them who will have to fix it.
Mm-hmm. And they are. They're leading. Oh, yeah. They're leading the way.
I mean, you have high schoolers getting interviewed on live TV after laying beside their friend who got shot, who then died later, mm-hmm. and they're being interviewed because they believe that change is needed. I don't know if I would be strong enough to do that at 33 years old, mm-hmm. and they're in high school and doing it because we haven't been able to get our shit together. Which is really encouraging and incredibly disappointing at the same time.
I don't want to reduce it to this, but there are so many old white men in Congress that run things that have
not all white men, Heather.
Not all white men.
There are
fucking whole bunch of old white men sitting in Washington with a worldview that is 50 years old, making decisions for everyone else. And the next generation doesn't fucking care who you love or how you love. Number one. Second, our children's generation is far, far, far more aware of social issues than we ever were. And
oh, definitely.
They are emboldened by all of these tools that we have given them too. I mean, all of this technology, those kids taking to Twitter, it was just, it's a movement. And I think once we get all those old white dudes out of Washington, this next generation, you know, if they can get political, if they can get into office, they can make change.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The change that we were all hoping was going to happen in the election.
I mean, it's change, though, that should have happened 5 years ago and 10 years ago and 20 years ago. I mean, it's change that has been needed for a long time. But again, it's the old white men that have prevented it from happening. In part because I think you're right, like they're stuck in this old worldview. In part, it's the money. And the influence of places like of organizations like the NRA. I mean, I think there's a lot that plays into it.
My friend posted this really, really interesting argument on Facebook, and she was like, most of the contributions from the NRA to people in Congress, to senators, and comes from, I don't believe the NRA itself can give money. It's actually members of the NRA who are donating money to these senators and congressmen.
In the name of the NRA, or how does that work?
Yeah, they're basically okay. Members of the NRA in the name of the NRA. They're like donating, like she said, like the average person was donating like $35, and it adds up very quickly because this is their issue. The issue is gun control. And so all of these NRA members are donating to Congress and to Senate. And And she was like, what if we had an organization, just a singular one, one singular organization that is for common sense gun control that could combat the NRA? And in the name of this one organization, we start to lobby certain members in Washington through this organization. Like, it was a really interesting idea, like this, not anti-gun organization, but like common sense gun organization that could...
Which is how the NRA started, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it was gun safety. That's what it was.
That's not what it is anymore.
No, I know. It's like we need a new NRA to help combat the NRA is what it is.
She's like, what if we had one organization that became that powerful that a congressman would want the donations from that specific organization, would want to be associated with it? It made a lot of sense. And people were posting in the comments like, well, there's this organization and this one and this one and this one. And she's like, except that you have the NRA and it's this one singular organization and it's so powerful. We need one organization opposite it that is just as powerful. One, not 50, one.
So as in all those 50 basically need to combine.
Coalesce.
Yeah.
So that they have as much lobbying power as the NRA does.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Maybe we are approaching a time when that's possible. Not that it wasn't possible before, but I think sometimes you have an issue like this that happens in Florida, a tragedy, and a group is formed as a way of kind of fighting back, you know, pursuing tighter gun regulations, whatever. Then you have the shooting in Las Vegas. And similarly, a group out there is formed, which is good. Like, it's great that it's happening. But now with this spread of information, the rapid nature of social media, I wonder if that is more likely to occur now, that all of these groups are out there and realizing, hey, we're doing the same exact thing. Let's join.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean, that would be incredible. And that's not a criticism to the groups. I mean, there's like mom groups and student groups and all, but to have them all put their weight in one place would be pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because you hear those numbers, like, I mean, over 3/4 of Americans want more gun regulations. Mm-hmm. So clearly the support is there. But if it's piecemeal, then it doesn't carry as much strength.
It needs a leader too. It needs a strong, charismatic leader as well. Charismatic and smart, and who knows the ins and outs of Washington.
Yes. Or it needs a leader who maybe doesn't necessarily know the ins and outs. But
hey, Obama.
I mean, you look at like the high schoolers, right? Yeah. But you look at those students, like they might not know the ins and outs of Washington, but they are figuring shit out really quick.
Exactly.
And maybe it's good that they don't know the ins and outs. I don't know. But it's so hard to go through this. I mean, like we were saying, it's hard to drop our kids off at school mm-hmm. because this can happen anywhere. But it's also hard to be that age and know that this has happened somewhere and then go to your school. Like, I mean, you tell them like everything's going to be fine, your school is safe, but I don't know. I mean, I feel weird saying that.
I think we've said this before, and it may just be a change in perspective, but it's almost as if everybody got too complacent with, we thought that we were making change and we thought that we were progressing and we thought that we were making things better for everyone. And because of the election and because what has happened since the election, people are waking up and people are realizing, oh shit, there is so much work to be done. And it was the wake-up call that we needed. It was the fire under our ass that needed to be lit. And I'm choosing to look at it that way because of the actions of these students. Like, we're fed up. We're fed up with this. Like, we realize we have to do the work. And so I'm choosing to look at what has happened since the election as a wake-up call.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you're right. I think there's something to be said. I think progress is being made. And I almost feel like, I mean, there's that expression, like, you just have to get the ball rolling. And I feel like people saw the ball rolling and then thought, well, it's fine. It's going now. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to push anymore. But then it stops.
We had a black president. Okay.
Right, right.
Well, we're good. Made it.
Things are great. There's a woman running. So totally new path. But that's not how. And the reality is that even if we push and push and push for the next 10 years and make a ton of progress, you can't stop. Like there's really not a point that you can stop. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not moving forward, you're moving backward. And it's kind of discouraging, I guess. And I don't mean it negative, but that's just the reality of it.
And there's a dread in me now of hearing another person saying, I didn't think that it could happen to me. I didn't think it could happen to my child. That refrain just scares the absolute shit out of me.
Because you don't want to find yourself saying mm-hmm. it. And that's what I mean. That's what's so weird about, you know, dropping him off and saying, I love you. You're going to be fine. It's going to be a great day without fully believing that.
I mean, yeah, like there's something about this shooting in particular that has had like, where I have envisioned, like, how would I go on with my life? What would I do? How would I react if this were my child? Like, I keep thinking about that. Like, there's something in particular about this shooting specifically where it's like, and we didn't even get to this, but I'll get to this very quickly. I let Lita go hang out with a friend on Friday. In Utah, everybody has a half day on Friday. It's just like, seriously.
Like always?
Yes.
Interesting.
And so she went with her friend to the mall, and then I think they went back to her friend's house to play Nintendo. And I was asking her, because I'd been invited to go see the Black Panther. We had been invited. And then we were going to go to dinner beforehand. And I was texting her to ask her if she wanted to go to dinner with us. And she didn't answer me. So I text her again. No answer. I text her again. No answer. So I call her straight to voicemail. I call her again straight to voicemail. 3 hours later, she sends me a text. And we had a come to Jesus session that night. And a lot was said that shouldn't have been said by a certain party that was not me. But I
take the high road.
I completely communicated to her, like, listen, it's not that I don't want you to have a good time. It is that I am worried for your safety. Your phone is on you so that I know where you are, so that I can communicate with you. All I am asking you to do is to respond when I try to communicate with you. That's it. This is all about the fact that I love you.
Which would have taken no thanks. Mm-hmm. We're going to get dinner at the mall. Whatever. I mean, 10 seconds mm-hmm. to respond.
We're good now. She understands. She knows that if she does it again, that I'm not letting her go to the mall with her friend because I have to know where she is.
Yeah.
So parenting. We went back to parenting. Good. Okay.
Yeah, we came full circle. But to your point, I mean, things like this happen. And I feel like those moments then become even more worrisome.
Oh, yeah. 3 hours.
That's a long time.
She was like, well, no, it's actually only 2 hours and 40 minutes. And I was like, it was 3 hours. Oh, 3 hours. God. I had no idea where you were.
I love that she had like a timestamp on it. Good God.
That's probably the worst fight we've ever gotten into. Someone told me.
You made it till 14.
Someone said, you know, wait till 14. When it hits at 14, and holy shit, were they right? Holy shit. We're okay
now. She didn't waste any time either. I mean, she's like weeks into that.
She's
that
a age. Week into it.
God.
But we're good.
So get ready. Buckle up.
She apologized for some of the tone that she took with me. I'm Southern and I don't allow a certain tone. Just say that.
The way you said that was also very Southern. So that worked out. I'm Southern and I don't allow a certain tone.
I even said to her, my dad would have slapped me if I had ever dared say something like that to him. I'm not going to slap you. I'm just going to tell you, do not talk to me that way, young lady.
Right. I'm going to tell you that I would have gotten slapped. 3 hours. Yeah, I would have. And she was out. It's not like she was at someone's house that you could call or call the parents.
No,
or...
she was out.
Ooh, yeah.
We talked about it. We talked about the shooting. We did.
And there's a lot more to be said.
We would love to hear from you, too, about it, about your feelings, your conversations with your children.
From either perspective, even if you're a happy gun owner and you have something to add that is not just an attack, like, we want to hear it.
We want to hear it. We want to have this conversation. We want it to be civil. We want to move forward. We just don't want more people to be killed.
So definitely, you can reach out to us on email, as always, at stories@manicramblings.com. Or you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Manic Ramblings.
Answer your text messages. Put the Find Your Phone on your children's phone. And hopefully we're all safe in the meantime. Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new KFC fried chicken nuggets now, available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.